Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 4. In verse 16, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in God and God in him, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We have known and believed. Known is the word gnosis, and here it means come to know and still know. It's in the perfect tense. It's come to know and still know. And we have believed, that is the word pepistoukamen, and it means come to believe and trust and still believe and trust. This came through a process. So we have known, we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides, meno in the original language, to remain, abide, dwell, to live. In, E-N-N, the preposition that denotes instrumentality, in God and God in him. Love has been perfected to teleotai. It's a perfect passive indicative. It means complete, mature, to make perfect by reaching an intended goal. Among us, in, through, by means of this, that we may have boldness, confidence in the day of judgment. Judgment is crisis in the original language. It can mean judicial judgment, but it can also mean a crisis, trials, tribulations, and the 1 Peter 1:7 trials of our faith. These are sent. Because as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. He is love. He is love. We need to believe this. He is love. Very few Christians believe this. They'll say it, but they don't believe it. They become familiar with it. They're so acquainted with it, they put it on a bumper sticker. It becomes a bumper sticker cliche and nobody pays any attention to it any longer. But he is love. He is love. Why does God love you? Because he is love. Why can his love not change toward you? Because he is love. Why will he be kind to you? Because he is love. Why did Christ die for you? Because he is love. Why are you accepted in the Beloved? Because he is love. How can God love a sinner? Think about it. You have somebody who wreaks havoc in God's kingdom. Maybe this is a person who has killed many people. Or maybe it's a person who lives in fornication consistently. Maybe it's one of these people who thinks they're a guy or think they're a girl when they're not. And God loves them anyway. And we say to ourselves, you know, this person is like this. How can anybody really even be accepting of this or love this person or what have you? God does. Remember something, God loves the worst of all the sinners because he is love. It's not dependent on us in any way whatsoever because he is love. It's not that God has love, it's that God is love. It's not a quantity that can run out because God is infinite. He is love. And so the place that I have with God is a place with the one who is love. a lot of people have a lot of trouble. Pastor Stevens, I heard a message from him recently where he talked about this. He said 80% of all mental and emotional illness and problems can be resolved if people believe God's love. But we don't actually believe God's love. Why does a person get scared? Because they don't believe God's love. You ever meet somebody who's fairly confident until they panic? Until something actually comes to really challenge them? Colonel, I know you did. Those boisterous guys in the military, and then when they finally get out on the battlefield, forget it. They break down like little children. What's their problem? They don't know the love of God. They don't know that He is love. Why are people not confident? They don't know that God is love. Not that He has love, that He is love. When He says He can't fail you, when He says He's not going to leave you or forsake you, you say to yourself very often, I hope that's true. I'm kind of sure it is. He said it, but I hope so. And when the situation comes, you're not 100% certain. There's a little bit of trepidation. No, He can't do it because He is love. If it simply was He has love, then maybe He'll give it, maybe He won't. But God can't change. He is love. So His faithfulness toward you cannot fail you. He is love. The fact that He gives a promise, of course it's going to come to pass. Why? Not because He has love, because He is love. It's beyond motivation. It's His essence. It's who He is. God would actually have to change who He is to fail people, to not be faithful to them, to not forgive, to not be merciful, to not be gracious. He would actually have to stop being love. But He is love. He can't stop. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so God's never going to stop being who God is. God is love. In Ephesians 1:4, He chose us from before the foundation of the world. He is love. That's why you were chosen. As He is, so are we in this present world. Now, in order for me to be the love of God, I have to come to know and I have to come to believe that God is love. When I come to know and to believe that God is love, in Jeremiah 31:3, I'll be drawn to Him. And that's the place where we become one with Him. And so when I have this, when I believe it, when I actually believe that God is love, then I'll be love in the world. It's not difficult. It's necessary, but it's not difficult. Believe God's love. Believe God's love. In Hebrews 1:3, who, speaking of Christ, so we can say Christ being the brightness of His glory, the Father's, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things, by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. He is the brightness. Brightness is the Greek word apaugasma, and it means light or splendor emitted by a luminous body. Glory, this is the word study dictionary, is doxa. It's from the root dokeo. It means to think or suppose. God's opinion, it says, marks the true value of things as they appear to the eternal mind. And God's favorable opinion is true glory. Think about what that's saying. The glory of God is the mind of Christ. That is the source of His luminescence. We can have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ starts with the love of God. So God's glory is not in His perfection. God's glory is not even in His ability. It's not in His power. It's in His love. Without love, you don't have the mind of Christ. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life and the Spirit brings fruit. So without love, you don't have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the glory of God. Love is the glory of God. Then it says He's the express image. Literally, that's saying exact copy of His person, of the person of the Father, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding is the word Pharaoh. It means to bear up under or with, to endure. But this word points to the outcome of endurance rather than merely the activity of endurance, which would be hupomone. So it also refers to fruit bearing through enduring. So when God endures all things, He's doing it with a purpose. And the purpose of God in that enduring will come about. Now, God's love, what did it do? It endured. He sent His Son into the world to do what? To endure. But not to endure for the sake of enduring, to endure for the sake of an outcome. The love of God always is interested in the outcome. And the outcome is always for us. It's for our benefit. Jeremiah 29:11, it's for our hope. And so God's outcome is never simply there to test us or do something. When He tests us, there's always a desired outcome. As He is, so are we in this present world. Jesus went to the cross, why? For a desired outcome. As He is, so are we in this world. Why do we bear a cross? For a desired outcome. The cross is not our suffering. The cross is our provision for the desired outcome. All things are held together by the word, rhema. Rhema, the same word that's used in Romans 10:17 for where our faith comes from. Rhema, the divine illumination of God for specifics in our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in a message. That's a rhema. This rhema is powerful. It's efficacious. So when He had by Himself purged our sins, this is what He endured. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In Ephesians 2:6, He seated us with Him. We were the outcome. Why? Because He's love. We were the outcome. The whole plan, everything, all of creation, everything was created for that one purpose, for that one reality, that God is love. Have you ever wondered? I have. You go to some place and you kind of marvel at it. I remember going to the Grand Canyon. I was blown away by it. Pictures will never do it justice. First place I saw on the Grand Canyon was the South Rim. And it was right by the main entrance. There was a lodge. And you go past that lodge and there's this great view. And then I found out that's not one of the better views. It's a cool view. It's not one of the better views. And then you go around that area and you just walk around and you drive around and you go to the different overlooks and you say, my goodness. And you can't actually describe it, and you've seen the pictures, and the pictures can't show it. The place is glorious. Absolutely spectacular. Or you go to Zion National Park. I remember going there a number of years ago, drive through there, and you stop and you walk around and you look around and go on some of the trails, and you say, I can see why they called it Zion. But you know, that's just the post-flood world. This is the world after destruction. And you wonder, how is it so beautiful? I mean, it's breathtaking. How is it so beautiful? Have you ever looked at certain flowers and thought, man, that's a beautiful flower? How is it so beautiful? This is after the fall. This is after the flood. This is after Satan has come into this world. And it's still so beautiful. How is that? Because God is love. Satan could not take that away, that God is love. He wanted to change God. He wanted to remove God. He wanted to kill God. He wanted to be God. But he wasn't love. So he could never be God. He's not love. God is. God is love. You get depressed and you say, does God love me? And you look at your circumstances and the answer is, are you breathing? If you're breathing, it's because God loves you. If you have the ability to think, it's because God loves you. If you're alive, it's because God loves you. It's not because of something you did. It's because of who He is. He is love. In 1 Corinthians 13:7, love will endure, but that's hupomone, all things. Love will bear up under all things. But God's love is magnified and it's revealed in enduring all things by Him. And if He is doing it, the outcome is present. His love was revealed through the cross. It had its outcome. Sin was removed by the love of God. The blood was shed by the love of God. The cross was there by the love of God. At the cross, His executioner got saved by the love of God. It's all by the love of God. We sometimes think God's love is going to be less toward us at certain times and more at others. It's not. It doesn't change. He doesn't change. It's not because of anything in us. It's because this is who God is. He is love. Let that sink in. Your troubles will be resolved once you realize God is love. That's His provision. Now, His love brings our salvation. What we don't realize is that our salvation happens on many levels. People think they are saved because they pray the sinner's prayer. And indeed, many of them get saved by praying the sinner's prayer. But salvation happens on many levels. There's, of course, the salvation of us, the salvation of the Spirit. But have you been saved in your mind? Has there been salvation toward your emotions? Is your body saved? You see, the fact that I accept Christ as my Savior, yes, that'll take me to heaven, but that doesn't fully do salvation. If I don't know how to think with the love of God, my mind's not saved. That's why there's so much mental illness. Even among Christians, there's things like depression, all kinds of personality defects, all kinds of stuff. Why? The love of God has not saved their mind yet. They have not yet mixed faith with the love of God, so it has not profited them in Hebrews chapter 4. Or their emotions? Have their emotions been saved by the love of God? Has their body? Romans 12:1, we present our body a living sacrifice. Has their body been saved by the love of God? That has to do with our volition. Are you somebody with a bad self-image? Has your self-consciousness, your awareness, your self-image been saved by the love of God? People are afraid because of things happen. Your conscience has not been saved by the love of God. When he says save your soul, he means your whole soul. Most Christians are not fully saved. They're saved unto heaven. Yes, amen for that. Thank God. But there's so much more left. If the mind of Christ through the love of God takes over your thinking, the world is a breeze. If your emotions start to respond to the love of God rather than to the negatives that we feed them, your emotions will be phenomenal. If your self-image responds to the fact that God loves you, the fact that he chose you from the foundation of the world, the fact that he is love and he places that love inside of you, that means you have the most significance that is possible with God. Because God loves you. You have tremendous value because God loves you. Not because of what you've done or not done, but God loves you. We need to know the love of God. We can't be healthy without it. We need to know the love of God. It's that simple. In Romans 5:8, God demonstrates, commends in the King James, terrible translation. God commends his love toward us in that while we were its sinners, he died for us. It's not commends. Synesthesin. To unite. To use two things to compose one new thing. God unites you to his love. As he is, so are you in this world. God unites you to his love. You are the manifestation of the love of God. The Father pours love into the Son in John 15:9. The Son pours love into you. You are the manifestation of love in this world. I remember certain people I've met, and you can just see love in them. Dr. Stevens was like that. Sabina Warmbrand was like that. Just different ones. Once in a while, you come across somebody and you see love in them. They're manifesting who they are. You are the love of God because you are one with him. And he is love. There's no depression in that. There's no anxiety, no trepidation, no uncertainty. Those things all fall away when you start to believe God's love. He's not given us a spirit of fear in 2 Timothy 1:7. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. Now, the word there that we're really interested in is the word and. Kai, Small word, big meaning. It's a copulative with cumulative force. So you have three things working together, and the three are greater than their sum. You have power, working together with love, working together with a sound mind. That's called God. You have the Spirit of God. And He lives inside of you because He is love. He created you as a result of that. He chose you before the world began, before the foundation was laid. Now, everything in the universe exists because you were chosen in love. You're wondering about circumstances. You're wondering about people. Everything in the universe exists because you were chosen in love. He is love. He chose you. You were chosen in Christ, it says. You were chosen in love. So there's no way to separate you from that love in Romans 8, 35, 39. There's no way to do anything to you that God will not block, that God will not protect, that God will not resolve, that love doesn't take care of. You have a child, and the parents love the child. And the child whines and screams and fusses all night, and the parents love the child. And the child keeps them up weeks on end, and the parents still love the child. This doesn't begin to touch the love of God, but it gives us an inkling that God's love is real. That God is not worried about what we're like. He just loves. You get a mom or a dad and car is about to hit their kid and they jump in front of the car because they love. God saw sin in the world and He jumped into sin to take it on Himself because He loves. That separation is not bearable for Him. The cross is better because He loves. Do you believe the love of God? It's His character. It's who He is. Do you believe the love of God? In Deuteronomy 13:3, God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. That's the great commandment in Matthew 22:37-39. Love Him. Why? Because He is love. And He wants you to be united to that love. He is love. Be who you are, is what it's actually saying. Not who you are in the flesh separated from Him. But be who God created you to be. He made you to be vessels of love. That's it right there. He made you to be vessels of love. When's the last time you got discouraged? When's the last time you got frustrated? When's the last time it seemed hopeless? When's the last time it seemed like it's just too much? Doesn't matter what it is. When's the last time? You need to know God loves you. You need to know He is love. You know why you have trouble? Because you don't believe God loves you. Sit right there. There's not a problem in the world if you believe God loves you. It's that simple. In Ephesians 2, for God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, that mercy comes from love. And Ephesians 2, 7 says it's going to be given to you for eternity. He's not going to stop loving you. He's not going to love you more in heaven, but he's not going to love you less either. He doesn't love you less on earth or more, because it's not dependent on you. You're just part of him. You're one with him. That means you're one with his love. It's pretty simple. Whatever it is, that's your solution. Oh, we don't think of it that way because we stare at the problem more than we stare at our Savior. But the fact of the matter is, it is the solution. He is love. The problem is, we don't believe. So we need to believe. In 1 John 2:5, whoever keeps his word, keeps his theory. It's a third class subjunctive. You might or you might not. But whoever does, and remember, he is the living word in John 1:14. Truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. John 15:5 says, if you keep yourself in the love of God and the word of God abides in you, the word of the one who is love abides in you, then you will bear much fruit. And the love of God will be abundant in your life. We endure everything through his word, which is efficacious, through his love, which is powerful, because as he is, so are we. It wasn't hard for God. It even hurt, but it wasn't hard, because he was love. And so he sent his son, and he endured the cross. And he said, it's worth it. And I'll tell you now, if he had to do it again, he would. How do I know that? Because, as Einstein showed us, there is no difference between the past, present, and future. All points of time exist simultaneously. When he went to the cross, in a manner of speaking, from a relativistic Einsteinian standpoint, he never left. He came down, but he never left. Because he never stopped being love. It's that simple. And in Romans 8:39, the love of God is in Christ. Amen.
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.